I'm Fraser Kane. You're listening to the audio edition of Universe Today. Wormholes are a mainstay in science fiction, providing our heroes with a quick and easy way to instantly travel around the universe. Enter a wormhole near the Earth and you come out on the other side of the galaxy. Even though science fiction made them popular, wormholes had their origins in science. Distorting space-time like this was theoretically possible. But according to Dr. Stephen Hsu from the University of Oregon, building a wormhole is probably impossible. Steve, welcome to Universe Today.
My pleasure.
Now, I've watched my share of Star Trek episodes. How well has this prepared me for the actual scientific understanding of a wormhole?
Actually, you know, in Star Trek, I don't think they use wormholes, but I think maybe the best treatment in sci-fi of wormholes is in the movie Contact, which is based on a book by Carl Sagan. And actually, historically, when Sagan was writing the novel, Sagan was an astronomy professor, he contacted an expert in general relativity, a guy named Kip Thorne at Caltech, and wanted to make sure that the way wormholes were treated in Contact was actually as close to being scientifically correct as possible. And that actually stimulated Thorne to do a lot of research on wormholes. And our work is actually an extension of things that he did.
So if you wanted to build a wormhole, theoretically, what would you do?
You need to have a very weird or exotic kind of matter. And that matter has to have highly negative pressure, it turns out, to stabilize the throat or the tube of the wormhole. You need very, very strange matter, and our work has to do with how possible that kind of matter would be in models of particle physics.
And let's say that you build a tear in space-time, and you fill it with exotic matter to kind of keep it open?
Correct.
And then, if I understand correctly, you could then move the two endpoints of the wormhole around the universe.
Correct.
And they would connect both in space and time.
Right. In some science fiction stories, they postulate that there are just some wormholes left over from the Big Bang, and we would just discover one and start using it. But the constructive model is that humans actually, or some alien civilization, actually build their own. And in that case, the two ends of the wormhole probably are, at the beginning, pretty close together, but then you sort of pull them apart.
Right. Now, how have you found, or I guess, where has your research led you to, to look at them?
Well, we were studying fundamental constraints on something called the equation of state of matter. So in other words, what properties like pressure or energy density, what range of properties like pressure or energy density can matter have? And we found some very strong constraints, and it turns out those constraints are very negative for the possibility of building a wormhole.
I guess what effect will they have on the wormhole?
Well, to get the very weird exotic matter that I mentioned before with very negative pressure, it turns out the equations show that when you force the pressure to be that negative, there's always some unstable mode in the matter, which means that if you were to bump your apparatus, you might find the exotic matter, which is stabilizing the wormhole, you might find that it just collapses into a bunch of photons or something.
So is it a matter of not bumping your apparatus, or is there, is it kind of theoretically impossible to reach a stable point?
I would say it's theoretically impossible to build classical matter, which is stable and can stabilize a wormhole. Now, you might ask, oh, maybe I'll just avoid bumping the thing. But if you were to send a person through the wormhole, that itself would provide a bump and would very likely cause the whole thing to fall apart.
Now, let's say you didn't want to send people. You just wanted to have some way of sending information, like, talking back in time.
That's not excluded. It turns out that the constraints we derive have to do with matter in which quantum effects are relatively small. If you have matter in which quantum effects are very big, then you could still have a stable wormhole. The wormhole itself would be fuzzy in a quantum way. The tube of the wormhole would be fluctuating like a quantum state. Now, that doesn't prevent you from sending a message back in time. You might have to try to send the message many times to get it to go where you want it to go, but perhaps you could still send a message. Sending a person might be dangerous if the wormhole is fluctuating because the person might end up in the wrong place or the wrong time.
Now, I'd heard estimations that, you know, building a wormhole would require more energy than is in the entire universe. Have you got some kind of calculations to that effect?
No, we don't. Our calculations don't necessarily show that. It does take a tremendous amount of energy density to create a wormhole which is big enough for a human to fit through. But usually in considering this kind of problem, you assume that whatever civilization is trying to do this has arbitrarily advanced technology. And what we're trying to understand is whether there's a limitation not coming from technology, but really coming from the fundamental laws of physics.
And where will your research lead you from this point on? Is there something that, you know, you're still a little unsure about? Or?
Well, we're very interested in the... So, as I said, our result mainly has to deal with classical wormholes, or wormholes that whose space-time is not very quantum mechanical. And we're still interested to see whether we can extend our results to cover wormholes in which the space-time is fuzzy.
Now, are there... Like, I know... there's some new work on dark energy where they're saying that if the larger sort of the dark energy effect that seems to be happening in the universe, that it's accelerating, that either is that there's a new form of matter that's not, or a new form of energy that's not been seen before, which is this dark energy, or maybe it's a breakdown in, you know, Einstein's theories at a large mm-hmm. level. You know, is it, you know, if some of that work starts to turn, you know, to show that, well, maybe Einstein's relativity isn't able to explain it at some of the larger level. Will any of that have kind of an implication on sort of the classical understanding of what a wormhole is?
That's a very good question. So in the context of dark energy, since dark energy is something that affects the large-scale structure of the universe, the behavior, the acceleration of the universe on length scales of megaparsecs, it's always possible that general relativity as a theory is modified at very large distances, and because we haven't really been able to test it on those distances. And so it's always possible that conclusions you get from general relativity are just not applicable. In our case, the length scale over which we're using general relativity is sort of on the size of a human. So it would be somewhat surprising if general relativity were to break down already at those length scales, although it's possible.
Right, I see. And then it's more on the small side is what you're looking at. So it still explains things quite nicely at this scale.
Right. There are stronger experimental tests of general relativity, or at least Newtonian gravity, on length scales of meters than on megaparsecs, and so we're a little more confident that the mathematical formulation of gravity that we're using is correct.
So if I wanted to get across the universe quite rapidly, I should look perhaps to the warp drives instead, or maybe just plain old moving in regular space.
You know, I'm a huge science fiction fan, and have been since I was a kid, but as a scientist, I would have to say it's looking our universe seems to not be constructed in a very convenient way for humans to get from star to star. And the sci-fi in which we sort of end up staying close to our sun, but we do amazing things with bioengineering or information technology or AI, those seem more likely to be realizable with our physical laws than, say, Star Trek.
Oh, well, I guess we'll keep looking then. All right, well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Stephen Hsu is with the Department of Physics at the University of Oregon. He spoke to me from Eugene, Oregon. For daily space and astronomy news, please visit my website at universetoday.com. You can also send me any comments or questions to info@universetoday.com. Thanks for listening.